We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Joining us right now, well, let me give you all the litany of, look at the litany of sponsors this guy has right now.
He's big time.
Brian Costello.
Big time.
He's sponsored by Winters Brothers, Long Island's number one choice for waste removal and recycling services. By CSEA Local 830, we work for you. By Security Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram, Suffolk County's number one volume dealer. And by Digital Ally, a proud partner of the great, what a football stadium it is, the best football stadium in East Rutherford, New Jersey. MetLife Stadium. Capture the truth. Brian Costello, what's up?
Hey guys, how you doing?
Oh my God, we're doing great. How
life
can we not
is,
be?
Life is good.
Oh my God.
Two wins.
Two in a row, rock and roll. Here we go. I want to see a 5-game winning streak going into Baltimore. Your thoughts?
I think it could happen. You know, I mean, this is the key one this Sunday.
Yep.
We're going to find out what's been for real, what's been a mirage against bad teams. So I think this is going to be a really interesting game to see, you know, both. Let's see how Sam Darnold performs. I'm interested in the run defense against Josh Jacobs. Can the cornerbacks hold up? You know, because they've played pretty well, Mollett and Bless Austin, but Derek Carr is a little bit of a different cat than Dwayne Haskins. So we're going to learn a lot, I think, Sunday.
Look, I want to believe. I want to, because as a sports fan, you don't want to be miserable. Like, who the hell wants to sit around being miserable? But I'm still having a very difficult time believing that they can ride a 5-game winning streak into Baltimore. And I think this challenge is going to definitely learn us. It's going to teach us a lot, as you pointed out. But what have you seen the last 2 weeks? And I get it, it's the Redskins and the Giants. But what have you seen the last 2 weeks, in your opinion, that is giving you that hope? Because I think if Joe had said that to you a week ago or 2 weeks ago, I'd like to see a 5-game winning streak heading to Baltimore, we'd all chuckle. We'd all laugh. We'd say, ha, even you'd laugh, Joe, if I brought it up. Mm. So what have you seen the last 2 weeks that gives you that, yeah, it could happen?
I think Sam has looked a lot better. I think you start there, you know. And while the Giants and Redskins aren't the greatest defenses in the world, you just seen him operate better. He made the mistake against Washington on the interception. But outside of that, I thought he's played pretty well. It just looked more cohesive to me as a unit, and maybe that's because they're 10 games in now as an offense. The offensive line, I thought, has played better. Like, Sam has had time to operate, which has helped everything go. And then defensively, they've been very good against the run, and the wrinkle of, you know, blitzing Jamal Adams all the time has worked pretty well. I'm not sure you can do that against Derek Carr. He might kill them if they do the blitzing that they did against Dwayne Haskins and Daniel Jones. But it just looks like it's just more cohesive is the word I would use, Evan. I think it looks like they've kind of come together a little bit as a team.
All right, how about the two tackles? Because both of them were banged up, Beecham and Adoga.
Yeah.
Well, what's the deal on these guys for Sunday?
I think they'll play. I think both of them are practicing, so I think both of them are going to play. You know, I think it's something to watch how effective they are if they're limited by the injuries. You know, Adoga was having a rough time with Ryan Kerrigan last week before he got injured.
Right, right.
And the Raiders have these two rookie defensive ends, Crosby with 4 sacks last week against the Bengals, and Cleveland Farrell from Clemson, who, you know, he hasn't quite had the impact that Crosby has, but the two of them, you know, it's going to be an interesting challenge for these tackles, and we'll see. I mean, Beecham, I thought last week, you know, he looked pretty banged up at times, but he's practicing. He's fighting through it.
Adoga stinks. I mean, he really does. He's not any good.
Yeah, I mean, the question
you agree
is,
with that?
Because he's a rookie? I do. The question is, because he's a rookie or because, you know, or is he just going to stink? Like, can he get better? But, yeah, I almost, you know, I think Shell is better than him, but clearly the coaches don't.
What does that tell you? I mean, think about it. Here's the problem. This offensive line in general is just horrendous. That's where I think I'm having a tough time believing that they're capable of putting together a 5-game winning streak, because despite what they were able to accomplish last week against Washington and before that the Giants, this is still a, you know, maybe the worst offensive line in football. I don't think it's crazy to make that statement. It probably is at this point.
I think, and you know, to start the year, they were a bad offensive line, right? Like, if you looked at the offensive line, you're like, Semele might be okay, but you know, he was near the end of his career anyway. He wasn't what he was 4 years ago. And then you have all the injuries and things, and they played two guys at every position this year, which is incredible. Mm. I saw last night in the game, the Colts have had the same starting lineup in every game this year on the offensive line. And the Jets have not had one guy who started every game. They played two players at each position. So when you start with a bad offensive line and then you start playing all these backups, it gets worse. So you're right. But the thing is, Evan, it's the level of competition. You know, I wouldn't say that you have a five-game winning streak if Baltimore was playing next week against them. I think the Bengals obviously haven't won a game. The Dolphins did beat the Jets, but they're not the greatest team in the world. So I think this one is the key here. Can they sneak a win against Oakland?
Well, it just scares me that here's a guy like Max Crosby. What was he, a fourth-round pick? How many sacks has he had over the last few weeks? And it's scary to think what this offensive line may not be able to do facing a guy like him.
Yeah, now I watched the Bengals game when he had the four sacks. Yep. John Jerry was the guy blocking him.
Oh, okay.
So
that's funny.
The Bengals offensive line is not great either.
Right. No, it's bad. That's fair. Yeah. That's fair. Fair.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's just a question of can they, you know, figure out a way to slow him down and not let him wreck the game. If he gets two sacks, he gets two sacks. But, you know, they can't have it where, like they were against Philadelphia with 10 sacks or the Patriots game.
You know, this is no breaking news, but the kicker stinks. I mean, Ficken is terrible. I mean, every time this guy lines up for a kick, I get nervous. I have to. I mean, every time. I mean, extra point. We've seen him miss extra points. Field goals. Any field goal is missable. They got to. You know, I understand kickers are kickers, but he has been terrible, this guy.
Yeah, I don't think he'll be around for a long haul. You know, I think they're going to have to address that position in the offseason. They've kind of. It hasn't been an issue because they were losing by large margins, you know. But yeah, it could bite them at some point here if they're in a close game and this guy misses a kick.
Let me throw this in here too, Ev. Just let me jump this in. I can see them beating the Raiders and losing to the Bengals. I mean, I could see that.
That would
be so Jet like. Like pray the Bengals win this week because if they don't, I'm telling you, you're gonna beat the Jets.
And like we talk about a five-game winning streak, they could easily, you know, lose
any
game they play.
They could lose that. Look,
they're going to beat this team.
They would beat Rutgers, I'll say that. But, I mean, you know.
Before Seattle comes back, right?
Yeah, right.
But you know what? To your point about, hey, I hope the Bengals win. That didn't stop the Dolphins from doing it 2 weeks in a row. I mean, think about that.
No,
when the Dolphins
pulled off
their upset, and that's what killed me in the knockout point, because I had the same assumption you had.
It helped that Brian Hoyer played that game.
But they still won the football game.
They did.
So that may not even mean anything.
Yeah, the difference between the Dolphins and the Bengals right now is Fitz. You know, because I thought against the Jets.
You're right.
Fitzpatrick figured in that second quarter, Fitzpatrick
100% right.
Look at this guy playing linebacker. I'm going to pick on him with the tight end. Oh, look at this guy playing cornerback, and he picked on them. Really, that one quarter, they scored almost all their points, but it was enough. The Bengals have Ryan Finley. I don't think he can do that. We've seen that the last few weeks. Even though Daniel Jones had a good game against them, but they haven't, you know, totally picked apart the Jets' defense.
You know what I'd like to see, specifically this week, but at some point before this season is over, a huge game from Le'Veon Bell. And I know a lot of that is not on him.
No doubt about it.
Not saying it's on him, but Le'Veon Bell has now played this season with the New York Jets, and his biggest rushing performance is 70 yards.
70 yards, yeah.
That's
and I think he has
amazing.
800, I think he has 800 yards from the line of scrimmage, passing, receiving and rushing together, which, you know, is unbelievable. I was thinking last week when they were up big in Washington, I was like, you know, the only thing that could cap this game off for them is if Bell broke one.
Right.
You know, if he could get a long run off, and that would ease that stuff off. Because it answered a few questions against Washington, but the rushing was still, you know, they had 100 yards, but it wasn't like they were dominating at the line of scrimmage. No, you're right. I mean, they got to get the running game going and get Bell going would make – this season, you feel a little bit better about this season.
And one other thing about him, and I think coming into this season, he even said, hey, give me the football as much as possible. Let's go.
Yeah.
He hasn't gotten nearly as many touches as he got the last couple of years in Pittsburgh. It's not even close. Like, his last year in Pittsburgh, he got 406 touches. Right now he's at 207. We're 10 games into the football season.
Wow. I mean, the Jets' offense was barely functional there for a while.
Sure,
they weren't getting.
No, there are circumstances that lead to that number being lower. No doubt. I don't want to ignore that, but still.
I think you saw last week they went to Bilal a little bit more.
Yeah, he had a good game, too.
A little bit more, you know. So they did start mixing in some different running backs, which I don't know if that's going to be something they do each week now more. but they definitely got Powell heavily involved during the middle of that game.
But one thing they got to do with Bell is do what they did last week, and that split him out wide. They had that one big play where they hit him for about 20 yards down the seam. I mean, I got to see more of that. I mean, Gase hasn't done really that all year until last week.
Well, you know what, Joe? If you want, he does it. They double cover him a lot when they do that because I think the defense is just keying on him. So there was a touchdown. Griffin had a touchdown. I think it might have been in Jacksonville where they did that with Bell. And even I saw a play last week where he went out and they double covered and Griffin. Like a lot of those Griffin passes where he looks wide open. It's because Bell's taking two guys with him a lot of times. So I don't know if it's that they're not calling it. I think it just hasn't really been there because defense has just keyed on the guy all season.
We're talking to Brian Costello about the Jets. The Quincy Enunwa stuff. I think what concerned me and some Jet fans about this is that it's yet another story. I know it's all unrelated, but the same franchise, yet another story of some kind of discord between a player and the organization. Do you draw conclusions from that?
Here's what bothers me about it, is that players feel they can do this. I think that's a bad situation. Like, you know, I hate to compare things to the Patriots, but players would never do this in New England. So why do players feel emboldened that they can do this, that they can publicly rip the organization? Is it a lack of communication that's going on? You know, I'm not sure. I'm not sure what it is. You know, if it's Gase, if it's Douglas, if it's both of them, what's happening? But, you know, Quincy was wrong. I think we can all agree, like, he should have been here. And if he wasn't going to be here, make a call before you don't show up to work. But the fact that he felt like he could go public with this is not a good sign for just, you know, everything being smooth in this building.
Mm. Well, let me ask you a question, because Cannizzaro had an article today, and he's talking about he was praising Gase for, you know, not losing the team. I know you didn't. Ernie told me you didn't write it.
I read
it. I know it was. Believe me, I give credit where credit's due, or lack of credit where credit's due.
Right.
But with that said, do you buy all? I mean, because look, I will say this: it does look like he's kind of kept this team together where they could have completely just gone off the rails. I mean, so
I thought Mark made a good point in that column where if things had really gone off the rails the last 2 weeks, we would be blaming Gase. So if it doesn't go off the rails, you got to give him a little bit of credit for that. And I do think, you know, he navigated the storm pretty well there because it was getting rocky. And I thought, you know, after Jacksonville and especially after Miami, I'm like, all right, let's see if these guys just quit on them. You know, is there going to be finger pointing in the locker room? And that hasn't happened. You know, they've only won two games in a row, so I don't want to say everything is rosy, but it does feel like they've kind of come through that storm that they were in last month, and he deserves credit for that. And, you know, honestly, guys, the players I talk to, they support him and they like him, even on the record, off the record. I know you guys had Ty in the studio the other day and probably talked to him about it off air and on air. I haven't gotten a lot of guys complaining. You know, some guys are going to complain. Every coach has guys that don't like him, but the overall feeling I have not gotten that this guy is disliked locker room.
Is that the most important thing? I mean, what is Well, is it wins the most important thing? That's what I always
thought.
Absolutely.
Okay. Absolutely.
Okay. Well, what then specifically, they have won two in a row. Okay. They very well, I'd be surprised, but who knows? Maybe they will go on this incredible win streak, beat the Raiders, the Bengals, the Dolphins, and go to Baltimore. Is there a number in your brain where you say, look, if they win six games, he's safe, he's fine, Gase 2020, it's going to happen. I know the owner has said that already. Do you get a sense of what that number would be that would keep him safe?
I think he's safe, Evan.
No matter what.
What
if they lose all their games? He's safe?
Unless it's like there's some crazy off-the-field story. He said it. I mean, he's got.
He can't be safe at 3-13. Come on. I mean, seriously.
Christopher will lose all credibility. Is he fired?
What credibility does he have right now?
If they go 3-13, come on.
I don't think he's fired. I think he's back. I do. Barring some crazy off the field.
Wait, hold on. Brian. Here's about this credibility, because now you ticked me off. Not you, but what you're saying. So maybe that is you. He'd lose all credibility if he fired Gase after saying he's fine. What did he pull with the general manager?
Right.
Everything denied?
Exactly.
So you think because of that, that's why he wouldn't do it?
Yeah, I'm saying he can't do it again. I'm saying he got a mulligan for what happened in the
season. He didn't get a mulligan
from us.
No. You're right. But
the fans. I don't think the fans have given, besides us, have given him any mulligans.
You're right. Mulligan's the wrong word. He did that it's on his record. That counts against him. If he does it again, I mean, no one's going to believe a word he says.
Well, why should
How
we?
How can he do that?
I don't. You know? I don't now. Like, he has Christopher Johnson isn't John Mara. John Mara. But John Mara hasn't been a good owner recently, but at least John Mara could say, hey, look, overall, I've been a good owner. And some Giant fans will say, yeah, you're right. You have a track. What is this guy's track record?
Terrible.
Well, I mean, that's a different discussion, though. I'm talking about, I think he loses his credibility if twice within, would it be
Brian, my point is he doesn't have credibility. That's my point. He doesn't have it.
But he needs to get credibility. So this isn't going to help him.
Yeah, keeping a terrible head coach is going to give him credibility. Cool.
If he fires a guy 7 weeks after saying, I'm not firing the guy, Evan, he looks like a buffoon.
Yeah, if they don't win another game, I don't see how this guy comes back. I mean,
I don't think that's going to happen.
Well, I don't think it will either. But if they did, I mean, who are you kidding me?
No, I think he's back. I think he's back no matter what.
Wow.
I'm the barring crazy off the field stuff.
All right,
in terms of record.
Let me hit you with a guy that actually, this Blaise Austin, who's actually played like a professional cornerback the last couple weeks. Now the story on this guy, he went to Rutgers, he tore his knee twice. He was actually a first-round talent. The Jets drafted him, in the sixth round, I think. Am I correct?
Yeah.
What about this guy? What do you think about this guy?
I need to see more.
He
played a game and a half. You know, he played a game and a half, and one of them was against Hoskins, who's not an NFL quarterback at the moment.
No.
But
that's
a good story. I mean, he was a guy they took a flyer on in the sixth round. He tore his knee the second time the first game last year at Rutgers. So September 1st, 2018, didn't play it all the rest of the year, really spent the entire spring and summer and half the season on a side field running. You know, you just see him running, doing sprints and agility stuff. And, I wasn't sure he was going to play at all this year. Then they activated him, and I thought, okay, he'll probably play special teams. And then Nate Harrison had the struggles against the Giants, and they put him in there, and he's played pretty well. Now, this week is, you know, like we talked about, it's a step up in class. So let's see how he and Arthur Mollett does against Derek Carr. And I also think, you know, you're limited. Can you blitz Jamal Adams off the edge every time against Derek Carr? Or is he going to get the ball out quickly to these guys? I think probably so. So I think the defense is going to have to take a different approach this week. And we're going to learn, you know, that's something you want to see over these last 6 weeks is Blaise Austin a keeper? Can he play next year?
No question.
You know,
is Darrell Roberts done for the year or not?
No, he's actually doing a little bit of practice today. You know, it's a calf strain, so it takes a little while. He's not going to play Sunday, but he could be back.
By the way, I got to throw this in there because you know who's had a brutal year this year and it really has flown under the radar. Nobody's really talked about it, so I'm going to bring it up now. Marcus May. You don't even know that this guy's out there. I mean, the guy doesn't. I don't think he's come close to an interception all year. And you're going to start defending how well he's played? I mean, seriously?
I wouldn't say brutal.
Ev, did you think Marcus May's had a non-brutal year?
I think he's had a very nondescript whatever season. And that's not good. But that's not good.
Well, he's also playing like 30 yards off the ball because they have Jamal lined up at the line of scrimmage. So there's only
Can he get an interception maybe once this year?
Yeah.
Like even Trumaine Johnson got an interception. Can this guy like pick one off?
What? I would say that with Jamal too. Like Jamal's got all these sacks, but like he only has one interception this year.
Well, and he ran back for a touchdown.
Jared Stidham.
No, I understand who it was against, but I mean, Marcus May hasn't done anything. I mean, if I was quarterback, he didn't do anything.
Yeah, but I wouldn't say brutal because I haven't seen him. The ball hasn't been flying over his head. And haven't been throwing.
I don't think he's had a brutal season. He's had a very nondescript season, and that's not a compliment. That's not even a defense.
Yeah. No.
But I wouldn't say brutal.
Okay.
I wouldn't say brutal.
Okay. The other guy is Quinnen Williams. Now. I understand they're number one against the run in the NFL, and I get that. And he's got to be, I guess, part of that. But what about him? I mean, is this guy just going to – are we going to look at this guy like, you know, 2 years and say, oh, another disaster first-round pick? Because he's heading that way.
It feels like Williams 2.0, I'll tell you that right now.
Yes,
I mean, it's early, so I don't want to make any –
No, it does.
It does. He had no tackles. I think he had one assist last week. No tackles against the Giants. He's got 1.5 sacks. You know, they can say they're saying, oh, he's doing dirty work, he's occupying blockers, and I think all that's true, but he's the number three pick in the draft.
No,
you want to see some
you just
plays.
Hit on it.
I mean, he's done nothing.
You know? But I think you just hit on it. When you are the number three pick in the draft,
you got to give me more than what you're giving me.
Yeah, and you were selected before Josh Allen, who's gotten 8 sacks so far this year, whatever it is.
And he could say,
I think that
he's
adds
counting.
To the frustration that you are picked that high.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Because I think you look at a guy like Foley Fatakasi, right? Like, great. He's giving you a little something. You're happy with that. But he's not the number three pick in the draft.
No.
You want to see impact plays, and there's been no impact.
Well, every one of those guys, whether it's Basham, whether it's Fadakasi, whether it's Kyle Phillips, every one of those guys has done something.
I know.
And what is Quinnen Williams do? Nothing.
Yeah. Yep. No, I agree with you. I think he needs to make some impact plays so that you feel better about him going forward.
What would
you know, right now, he looks like an okay player.
And that's not good enough, as you said.
Nope.
What was your prediction for this game? They're going to win?
You're picking them to win again?
I'm picking them to win.
Good. Keep going. Because you're two in a row now, so you're hot.
I'm 9-1 this season. So
is that what you want?
You're 9-1?
Boy, a bunch of, I didn't realize that. I would have just.
Yeah, but wait, hold on. Hold on. Straight up, exactly. It's not what points are.
8-2 against the spread.
Still 8-2 against the spread.
That's good. That's good.
We're ahead of the game here.
The spread was the fact it was the first Patriots game when Patriots are favored by 24. Remember that game?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was the only
– that was the Luke Fork game, which actually was a better game than the game that Donald played.
Yeah.
It's crazy to think
about. It's not even close.
Now, I'm impressed. 8-2 against the spread is really good, man.
Good
job out of you.
Keep it up, bro.
Thank you, bro.
That means it's bound to turn at some point.
That's usually the way it works.
When they play the Bengals and you pick them next week, especially if the Jets win this week. I pray the Bengals win this week. I really do.
Doesn't matter.
Steelers, right? The Bengals, Steelers?
Yeah, I'm starting to like the Bengals in that game. Getting 6.5. Steelers coming off that bad loss to Cleveland, everything surrounding it. Bengals hanging tough. Tight with Oakland. I don't know and honestly, I don't think winning matters. I mean, because the Miami thing kind of reinforces that. Even if the Bengals won, they could still go beat the Jets next week. They go win two in a row.
Well, no, yeah, but I feel worse about it. I feel better about it if they win this week. I'll say that.
Yeah.
I guess we got to let you go, Brian.
Thank you, Brian.
Brian.
All right, guys.
We'll talk to you, Brian.
Brian Costello.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.